Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show. Welcome to the Two Men Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Two-Man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, dialing in from Chicago, my close friend.
Brian,
today is Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. It's been 10 days since our last podcast, and I believe you're going to be home in Minneapolis this weekend. Pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. Coming with my girlfriend, coming to town for cousin's wedding out by Wilmer, which is where my family's from, so shout out to Western Minnesota.
Represent.
Yeah.
We're going to eat some food, play some video games, drink some bourbon. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it'll be good. Maybe even some scotch. I don't know. We'll see where the night takes us.
Yeah, if we get really, really crazy.
So I wanted to talk to you about restaurants in Minneapolis. So my girlfriend, not from Minneapolis, I want to get her excited about the city. And I was wondering, what do you think is like the most, like assuming she's been nowhere, like let's pretend she's not been anywhere, like the best, most representative of Minneapolis restaurant that you would take her to go?
Man.
And not just the best, because like the most expensive food is obviously going to like probably be the best. But like, what do you think is like a cool Minneapolis unique restaurant?
I mean, if you want to go like really unique, Travail, even though it's in Robbinsdale, but I mean,
and you can't get in.
That's a fairly unique experience. I don't know if you can or not. They do the ticket system now, but I don't know how far out they're sold out for. I don't know. 112 Eatery, Bar La Grasa are like two of my favorites. I don't know if they're necessarily representative of the Minneapolis restaurant scene, but I'm partial to both of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on 112 being amazing. They just upped their prices, but they've always been a favorite of mine because you can eat there and it feels really nice, but you can get the burger for like $8 or $10. They've got good sandwiches and fries, and service is always great. Cheap alcohol if you want it. So that's one of my favorites. One that I thought might come up that didn't was like Matt's or the 5A Club.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they're not representative. Like, they're both super overrated. Like, yeah, I guess it's kind of cool. They say they like created the Juicy Lucy.
We invented the Juicy Lucy. That's super Minnesotan.
Did we really? You put cheese in the middle instead of on top?
Mind blown.
Like, no one had ever thought of that before those places did it. I don't know. I don't think the food's particularly good at either one. I know Matt's Bar has gotten a lot of hype since Obama ate there, but I don't know. I'm not impressed with either.
Really?
Really.
Ugh, okay. Don't agree. But to be fair, I've never been there. But I think people in Minnesota really love it. And the only thing that's kind of like unique and really Minnesotan would be, I think, Bachelor Farmer, because it's very Scandinavian, or the restaurant at the Swedish Heritage Museum is supposed to be really good too.
No, I've never been there.
Well, now you have an excuse to go, because I told you about it.
You know where else I've never been? The Swedish Heritage Museum.
Well, that's not surprising, no.
I didn't even know that was a thing until now. Is that in Minneapolis?
I think so, like South Minneapolis.
Oh, okay. I've lived here for a while. I'm not aware of it. Should we get in some agenda?
Let's do it.
All right. Pretty normal agenda this week. We're going to do some...
Did you try and bring it like a little bit harder? Come on.
We're doing some news and notes. Where are they now? We're going over the Western Conference NBA over-unders, and then finally finishing up with a mailbag. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com is where we can be reached. We can also be reached on the Twitterverse at TWolvesPodcast. Brian, I don't know if you heard, but there was some big news this week.
What happened?
The Lynx are playing at the XL Energy Center. No, Kevin Garnett retired. Retired from basketball after 21 seasons. Clearly the greatest player in franchise history. We talked about in the last podcast, probably like a top 30 player of all time. Just an unbelievable NBA career. Leads the Timberwolves in every major statistical category, which is pretty striking. I couldn't have been more wrong on this. We talked about it last episode. Is Garnett going to play this year? I really thought he was going to. Before we get into sort of a little bit more about Garnett's career, the timing of this isn't being talked about a lot, and I find the timing very, very strange. you know, superstars generally don't retire a week before training camp begins. They tend to do it after the finals to give the team sort of a little bit of time to figure out what they're going to do with the roster spot. Brian, what's the deal with this timing?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty strange. And honestly, it kind of worried me because before this was announced, there were some reports coming out from, I think, Darren Wolfson or someone else close to the team that the team had reached out to Garnett and hadn't heard back to him from him for quite some time, which is not what you expect from, you know, basically the face of the franchise is Towns now, but from like the, you know, the all-time franchise player, you wouldn't expect any bad blood there. You know, hopefully Taylor treats him reasonably well, and I would think the coaches would. Tibbs won a title with him, and so hopefully they have some relationship and don't totally hate each other. So no, it was pretty perplexing that he waited till right now. You know, I think part of me hopes that his body just didn't hold up and he wanted to give it a go, and he, you know, was working out and kept going and then just kind of decided at the last minute that it wasn't going to happen, rather than, you know, being kind of upset by some of the changes and react to that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case too. I don't really know what to make of it. I have no insider information. The timing was just so strange. Ultimately, he does still get paid his salary of $8 million this year. By all reports, the sort of fan fantasy that Garnett was going to become the owner of the team, which, to be honest, was never realistic. I mean, at best, he was going to own a very small minority piece.
Not very small. He has a lot of money. Let's say 5%.
Yeah. Okay. 5%. I mean, I consider that very small, but that's now probably not going to happen. And it seems his involvement with the Wolves is sort of over, and that's too bad. I, you know, in the scheme of things, I'm not sure it matters that much, but as a fan, I would have liked to see him involved in the franchise going forward.
So what's interesting is that, yeah, I think Mark Stein says in his quick write-up was that Garnett, you know, wanted to come in and be part of the team's future. And when Taylor sold off the stake to the two minority investors, it became clear that this just wasn't going to happen, and it's probably not a good fit for him long term, given he's not, you know, a public dude. What do you think about that? Do you think that had an effect? Or one other thing that was pointed out was kind of the unceremonious firing of Mitchell. You know, they played together. Mitchell is probably his mentor back when he was young, and they're really close. I mean, do you think that had something to do with it?
It's possible. You know, the timing of his retirement makes more sense if that did have something to do with it. He was an outspoken praiser of Sam Mitchell, even though we talked about it at the time. What else is he supposed to say when he's asked about the current coach? He can't really say anything negative. Ultimately, no, I don't think Sam Mitchell had really much to do with this. I'd be surprised if it did. Sam Mitchell wasn't the right coach for this team. If Garnett was, you know, had any objectivity in him, he saw that and he knew that, I think, deep down. So no, I don't think the firing Sam Mitchell had anything to do with this.
And I think he knows he probably wasn't the right coach, but I think how they did it could have offended him. I mean, Garnett's a very emotional person.
Yeah, they had a quick phone call instead of an hour meeting. But if I mean, I agree. We talked about it in the last podcast. I don't think that's the right way to let him know. But if you're Garnett, you're a degree removed from that. And if that's making or breaking your decision to invest, you know, $50 million in the team or whatever it is, I just find that a bit far-fetched. You know what I mean? I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
Do you? You think it has something to do with it?
I don't know. Garnett's an emotional guy. Hard to tell what he's thinking. He's not a super public guy, so you can't really know what's going on in his head. I hope not. The timing's weird. And, you know, I would like to, if it was his body shutting down, would like to see him give him a go at camp at least and be around the team. Now his role with the team seems like essentially nothing, so I think that's sad. And I don't like that Towns treated out doubly lips. He seems sad about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a sad day. You know, Garnett's getting paid regardless. It'd be nice if he was around the team, I think. But, you know, he's got to make the decision that's best for him. And he certainly earned the right to retire after 21 amazing NBA seasons. Clearly the best Timberwolf of all time. Do you think he's the best player in franchise history to a greater degree than any other player with any other franchise?
No, I don't.
Okay, you think Michael Jordan with the Bulls?
Probably Jordan. I think if you bring your city, you know, multiple championships, he was kind of our best player ever. I know where you're going with this is that he's the only player ever to have the most, what, points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks.
Yeah, every category. And he was our best defensive player during that time, too.
Yeah, but he just – what sucks is that we just never put it around him. So is he more important to us than Jordan was Chicago? I mean, they got him, and then they got championships. We got Garnett, and frankly, hopefully we get further with the next generation of guys. So I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I agree when you phrase it like that. But I was more so thinking of it from a perspective of, is he that much better than the second best guy in franchise history? I mean, the drop off from Garnett to number two is pretty stark.
Who is it? Is it Kevin Love as like our only other multiple time All-Star? Kind of sad to think about, right?
Yeah, I mean, it might be, which is
not Wally Szczerbiak.
Yeah, which, you know, if you take Michael Jordan with the Bulls, obviously he's, you know, he's the greatest of all time. But like Scottie Pippen is pretty damn good. He made a lot of All-Star
Michael,
teams.
So yeah, great point. So Michael left and Scottie basically became Garnett with the Wolves. Maybe a little better.
Yeah. No, that's true. So it's kind of interesting. It really shows you that we really did not surround Garnett with pieces. And Brian, I don't know if you caught the piece. I think this, I read it on The Ringer, where it basically said Garnett was before the modern NBA. So when Garnett played, the Wolves spent a lot of years trying to pair him up with a big man or two other big men at times. Whereas in the modern NBA, clearly today, Garnett would just play center. And you'd go small with the rest of the lineup, and Garnett would be able to switch defensively on pick and rolls and protect the rim, and offensively he'd be fine at five. I thought it was a really interesting point that I guess I hadn't really thought much about before, but I think it's accurate. I think he would have been way better if he was coming into the league now versus 20 years ago.
You think so?
I really think so. You don't think he could play five in the modern NBA?
Yeah, he could definitely play five, and he did towards the end. Like once he hit Boston, I know he was kind of their four, but whenever Perkins was out, he was more their five with Big Baby as the four.
Like we so stubbornly insisted on playing him at four on the Wolves, and we would just pair him up with, I mean, whoever, like whatever 6'10", 7-foot guy.
It was pretty much the worst center crew for like 15 years you could imagine. We peaked out at like Irvin Johnson and Dean Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had Rosho in there for a little while.
Oh, Rosho was like easily the best one in that group.
Yeah, he was the best one, but I mean,
Darko.
It just made it doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Why wouldn't you just like, if you don't have a five, just play Garnett at five?
So he may not have wanted to play five. Do you think he would have done whatever it took to win, or whatever it take?
Kevin Garnett, yes, yes, I do.
He was a little skinny at first to play five. Then he bulked up and got big towards the end. Yeah, that's a good question. Would he be better now? Probably not.
You don't think
so? I would imagine he's less relatively athletic to the guys now than 20 years ago.
Okay. But, I mean, if you assume he'd be, progress the same as the rest of the players.
These arguments are so dumb.
I know.
Sure,
this,
man.
This is kind of dumb.
He'd be better now.
I'm just saying. I thought it was interesting. I think he would fit better in today's era than he did back 20 years ago. So
fair enough. You could say he was the prototype.
Brian, what's your favorite Kevin Garnett memory?
My favorite Garnett memory my two favorites probably that I actually remember from the time are the Sacramento three. That was pretty sweet. And then I remember when he kind of like shoved/pushed Anthony Peeler in the chest when Peeler was a little and try to start something.
I those are two very good memories. I also liked in that Sacramento game with like, I think like 3 or 4 seconds left, he had a pretty sweet block at the end, you know, towards the end of the game, which I don't even know if it was a good, you know, we might have been better off letting them make a two and we're up by three with 4 seconds left. But it was sweet. It got the crowd amped and ultimately we won the game. So that was a good memory of mine as well.
That's a good one. I sent you this video today and it was an old one that Steve McPherson put into his article about Garnett retiring, which was good. I like his pieces because they're not too long, but they're well written, and he has some nice links and he gets to the point, which while still being creative. But anyway, no, he linked to an interview with John Thompson from 2004, right when everything started to fall apart after we made the Western Conference Finals. We didn't re-sign Spree, Flip got canned basically, and we were, you know, struggling to hit 500 like we always were. You know, he's crying. You could tell he just wanted to win so bad and help our team and help our city. And he couldn't do it. And he was frustrated by that. So it's cool to see someone that emotionally raw. And I think after that, he started doing a lot less media.
That's actually pretty interesting. Yeah, it was awesome to watch Garnett play on and off the court. He definitely cared more than most players do, cared about the city, cared about winning. Extremely unique, I think, in that respect. And he, you know, might have been a little bit crazy, but, like, that's okay. Crazy sort of in a good way, I think.
So I never noticed he was crazy when he was in Minnesota. Was I just too young?
Yeah, I think you're too young. I mean, he would talk to himself the whole game.
Well, I remember that, and, like, he'd slap the floor and, like, hit his head against the post. But I don't remember him being, I should say, a jerk until he got to Boston.
Yeah, so I always, when I used to watch him when I was younger with the Wolves, I always thought that stuff was just sort of, like, to get himself amped, and, like, it wasn't who he was. But after watching that for 20 years, I believe, I mean, that's just who he is. You know, I don't think it's a thing he does to get himself psyched up. I don't think it's a show. I think that's genuinely just how he is, for better or worse.
Fair enough.
Any other Garnett thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? I mean, we've seen this coming for a while, so it still made me sad when I heard the news. But, you know, at this point, we're not really shocked. He wasn't going to do a lot to help the team. I do think it's disappointing he's not going to be around to help Towns. So I think he was one of our biggest assets and, frankly, our biggest success story for someone who could, like, build a life and around them in Minneapolis and not just complain about being cold. So I'm disappointed he's not going to be around the guys, but, you know, hopefully he has some role going forward. What do you think he's going to do next? That's my question.
You know, as you said, he's a pretty private guy. Maybe he'll guest host like an NBA show once in a while. I could see him being on the TNT crew like 3 times a year or something like that. I don't think he's going to be involved in the Wolves at all going forward, if I had to guess. And I'm not sure he's going to be involved in the NBA really going forward. I could just see him sort of living a family life.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he just rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, and, you know, he made a lot of money, worked really hard. He sort of earned the right to do what he wants to do.
Yes, he did.
Well, Kevin, we're going to miss you. Thanks for the good seasons. I'm speaking to him directly now because I know he listens to the podcast. I'm glad he finished his career with Minnesota. That was kind of a cool thing Flip pulled off, and obviously got us excited and the fans excited, and yeah, it was good to have him here.
Yeah, and Kevin, he looks happy. He posted an Instagram picture today of him with a cigar, just hanging out. And, you know, I hope he gets fat, not as fat as Chuck, but and can just relax a bit.
Can you imagine fat Garnett? I can't even picture that.
No, I can't either.
I don't know if he's physically able to get fat. Like,
just
like,
so much energy.
I just, like, don't see it.
Well, we'll find out.
Let's move on, Brian. There's another player who's not going to be with the team this year. That is Peck. It was reported he's out for the 2016-2017 season. This is something we talked about in the last pod. You, Nick, and myself, I think all thought his career's probably over. You know, he didn't retire. He's just declared out for this season. He's done, though, right?
Yeah, I can't see how he ever plays again. I mean, he's not, like, super tall, like a really slow, injured 6'10 center isn't really going to do much to help. Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. He's, you know, I mean, whatever. This isn't a surprise. In a way, it's kind of nice he's declared out for the season. I mean, obviously, I feel bad for him. But from a team perspective, we can do something with the roster spot now. There's a little more certainty around Peck, which I think is helpful.
Yeah, and I think it clears up a bit what's going to all happen with minutes. I think this is obviously a lot better that we're not going to have to try to fit him in some way. So I think it's good for Belly, Gorgie, and overall, I just think it's good for the team.
All right. Pat, get healthy. Hopefully we're all wrong about this, but we'll see. Do you know what today is, Brian?
It's not your birthday.
It's not. It's almost better. Training camp began today for all NBA squads. September 27th is the official first day. I think it was like media day for most teams, but that officially means the NBA is back, and I am excited.
Yeah, I am too.
That's pretty hot take.
I'm also, as a fan who loves the NBA so much, I started a podcast with you. I also am excited for the season to begin.
I'm glad you show it. I don't really have any news to report there other than it's exciting. I mean, they'll be playing preseason games in a couple weeks, and season starts about a month away. It's going to come up quick.
Yeah, it's going to be fast. Are you going to go to any preseason games? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, I'm guessing I'll go to one. I think we have I think we have two home preseason games because they, you know, they play all those preseason games at weird locations throughout the country. So yeah, there's two at Target Center. I'll probably go to one, and I'm almost certainly going to be at the opener. I think it's November 1st, if I remember right.
Nice. It's usually right around there.
You riding and fly back for a preseason game?
No, definitely not. But this, I hope this is the year where I finally make it to the freaking Chicago game. I've missed the last two because of scheduling conflicts. So hopefully I'll be here.
Oh, man. You definitely got to make that happen.
Yeah. You should come up.
I actually might. We'll talk.
Or down, I should say. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
A couple other Wolves notes. We talked about this on the last podcast, but Rasual Butler has been signed to a non-guaranteed deal. It was reported a couple weeks ago. We were working him out. This is kind of a non-news item, but just wanted to let everyone know.
God, could you sound any less excited?
You know,
I think it's good news. It doesn't hurt, right? Like, if he doesn't work out, that's fine. We'll use a spot on someone else. And, you know, the guy can probably still shoot. He still has his moments on teams. And he actually played a little bit last season.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a good signing. I don't think it's going to move the needle one way or another. But we do have a couple roster spots to fill all of a sudden. So his chances of making the team have increased dramatically.
Yeah, because we just lost two centers, so we're definitely going to sign a shooting guard.
I wouldn't rule it out, actually. But
we were overloaded at center, but I don't think those guys being out really mattered that much.
Something I am excited about, Brian, if you want to talk excitement, every Timberwolves basketball game is going to be televised for the first time in team history this year. It is 2016. It took many years for this to happen. I've gotten some pretty big rants on the podcast over the last 4 years due to them not televising random games. And it's so frustrating as a Wolves fan to not be able to see all the games on TV. This makes me very happy. It's about probably 12 years overdue that this happened, but better late than never, I guess.
I agree. I don't think it was long overdue. We probably didn't need to have every game televised when we were going, like, you know, 12-70 and stuff like that, and like 18-64. So I think it's fine, but I do think it's exciting that we're gonna be able to watch all the games. So I'm pretty pumped.
I'm pumped too. I actually really disagree that every game should be televised.
No, dude, reruns of hunting shows pull mad ratings.
I mean, clearly they make more money doing that than showing some of these Wolves games.
Right.
Which is, we could talk about what that says, but it's good that FSN has decided that the Wolves are going to draw some viewers this year because we have a good young core. I'm pumped about it.
I think we will. And I don't know if there's benefits to them through League Pass, but I think there'll be a lot of people watching on League Pass. We're going to be a good League Pass team. But, you know, it means more of two of our favorite people, Dave Benz and Jim Pete. So I don't think anyone's going to be upset about that. Talking about the preseason real quick. So two of our games are in Miami. How excited do you think the players are for that?
Oh, really excited. I mean, I'm guessing the starters are hoping they're not going to play at all so they can party extra hard. Who's more excited, Ricky Rubio or Andrew Wiggins, about those Miami games?
Oh, man. Also, the first one's on a Saturday night in Miami. Like, how pumped are the young guys to go to that game? I'm going to guess maybe Ricky. It's a very Spanish city. He probably feels at home. He doesn't have to speak English to anyone. He'll be pumped.
Yeah, Ricky, I can't imagine anyone's more excited than Ricky about that.
And Dunn can play all those minutes, and he can, like, be all surly on the sideline. It'll be great.
I can't believe he's getting to my minutes.
Yeah, Dr. Evil.
One last note. This is not Wolves related, but I alluded to this at the top. But the Lynx, Brian, are in the WNBA semifinals. They're still the favorites to win. And due to some construction at the Target Center, they're playing some home games at the XL Energy Center. I guess it is what it is. I couldn't even believe this when I heard it. It's so weird. They play all their games during the regular season at Target Center. They're the best team in the league, and they sort of get the boot for a little while.
They get away games in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I feel like there could have been a better workaround than this. But, you know, is what it is. I'm sure the fans are able to make the drive over to St. Paul.
Yeah, why not?
That's all I have for news and notes. Should we move on to Where Are They Now?
We should.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
I am. I actually really enjoy Where Are They Now. I appreciate your effort.
Well, let's get into it. Born in Seattle, Washington, he was considered a top recruit and flirted with declaring for the 2002 NBA draft. Ultimately, however, He decided to go to school. He attended the University of Washington, where he led his team to two Sweet 16 appearances as a junior and a senior, and was the Pac-10 Player of the Year as a senior. In the 2006...
Brandon Roy.
Wow, nice job, Beam.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to say who drafted him this next line, because I thought that would give it away. But I'll just finish it out. In the 2006 NBA draft, he was selected 6th overall by the Wolves, who ultimately traded him to Portland. And he played his first NBA game with Portland, where he played for 5 seasons. He was the NBA Rookie of the Year in his rookie season, and he made 3 All-Star teams during his stint in Portland. In 2011, he retired due to a lack of cartilage in his knees, which is pretty brutal. However, in 2012, he had the Kobe Bryant platelet-rich plasma procedure and thought he could mount a comeback. So he tried out for some teams. Some good teams had interest. Ultimately, he signed with the Wolves. If I recall, it was a 2-year, $10 million deal. I remember, Brian, we went to a game. I can't remember if it was preseason or super early in the season. And we watched Brandon Roy, and I was still optimistic that he could maybe play. And you're like, he can't move. Like, he can't jump. He can't move laterally. There's no way he's going to be able to play. And you're totally right. It makes me think maybe you should be one of the doctors who evaluates these players. You know, ultimately tried to play, could not play. He was waived by the Wolves in 2013, where he retired for good. If you're wondering what he's up to now, he moved back to his hometown of Seattle, Washington. He's heavily involved in an AAU team that he established. It's appropriately named Team Brandon Roy. It's
about the kids.
It's one of the best AAU squads in the country. I think it's ranked 4th in the nation right now. It's number 1 on the West Coast. Wow. They get ex-NBA players to serve as coaches, so very high profile. So that's where he spends a lot of his time. He also has a couple kids, married, and I found this tidbit pretty interesting, Brian. Have you ever heard of the Champions League? I'm not talking about Euroball. I'm talking about the USA Basketball Champions League.
No.
Yeah, me neither. So... It's a thing that's apparently had started this season. It's in, I think, 16 cities or something like that, and they have a 2-month-long regular season. It was hard for me to tell if this actually happened or if this was just reported as happening. But anyways, Brandon Roy was going to play for one of the Champions League teams, along with some other notable ex-NBA players. Rasheed Wallace was one of them. So he clearly is still able to play basketball, which is good. It seems like he doesn't have super bad long-term health effects of the lack of cartilage. He's not in a wheelchair. He doesn't use a cane. He's still able to run periodically, obviously. So I was very encouraged by that. I thought that was very good news. And that is what Brandon Roy is up to now.
Cool. Glad everything worked out for B. Roy. I mean, I'm sure made pretty good money during his career. So I think everything's going to be all right for Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely. His comeback was genius. He got $10 million out of that. I mean, pretty smart. Should we get into some Western Conference over-unders?
Let's do it.
So last podcast we did the Eastern Conference. The over-unders weren't released yet by the sports books. Maybe we should have waited to do them. Maybe not. Whatever. But this week we actually do have official Vegas over-under lines. I'm going to be going alphabetically, Brian. Let's get into it. First team, Dallas Mavericks. 39.5 is their over-under. I was surprised by that number. It seems a little low to me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I was surprised by this too, but I saw the NBA championship odds a couple weeks back, and they had Dallas pretty low. It was down with like Denver and Sacramento. Granted, I think championship odds are a bit different than record. Like, they don't have the upside that maybe like a Timberwolves, you know. There's, if you play out the season 1,000 times, the Timberwolves probably win the championship once, you know? Whereas... Or more than that, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. Dallas, there's essentially no path to them unless, like, somehow they acquire a much better player, but that doesn't seem likely. So, anyways, yeah, I was a little surprised. I don't think they really got worse. I think Harrison Barnes is probably a little bit better than Chandler Parsons. And I also think Andrew Bogut's probably a big upgrade from Zaza Pachulia. Pachulia wasn't bad. I just think Bogut's actually really good. And hopefully Wes Matthews is more healthy this year. So I kind of like the over on this for 39.5. I think they'll probably end up close to where they were last year, if not a little bit better even.
Yeah, that's my thoughts too, especially with their strategy of trying to be the B-squad Golden State Warriors with Harrison Barnes, Andrew Bogut, and Seth Curry. That's my thoughts too. I think a lot of this line comes from the teams around Dallas in the standings got better for the most part. So maybe this is sort of relative to them. Vegas thinks they're going to be worse, but I think they have a better squad than last.
Maybe, but like even as a huge Timberwolves homer, like I'm not convinced they're better than them.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I thought that was an interesting line. Let's move on. Denver Nuggets, 34.5. Your thoughts, Brian?
That feels about right. Honestly, I'm not totally sure how they won 33 games last year. I would think they would be quite bad, but somehow they win, you know, they won a few more games than us. I think they probably got a little bit better, but they also got even younger because the guys they added were essentially all rookies. Actually, they're literally all rookies. Jamal Murray, Hernan Gomez, I think those two will be really good right away. Sorry, not really good right away, but they'll contribute right away. So I think they'll probably get a little bit better than where they asked last year, but I wouldn't really pound the over on this one. This one, I think the line's probably right on, probably like 34 wins.
Okay, that's kind of what I'm feeling too. It is interesting they added 4 draft picks to their roster, 3 first-round picks. I heard an interview with their coach on the Zach Lowe podcast. Great guy, sounded like a good guy, but the expectations were very low. He sort of said, look, this is a decent job for me because there's no expectation to win right away. you know, in so many words, that was the message. So it made me think they're not going to be winning a lot of games this year. If I had to bet, I'd probably bet the under on this, but the line seems pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, if Nurkic is healthy, he was really good 2 seasons ago. Jokic was the per minute rookie of the year, let's call him, last year. A lot of the advanced metrics darlings really liked him. He had a per of 22, which is pretty nuts. Fried, I think Fried's terrible. I think they should trade Fried and get anything for him. But yeah, Moutier, I think Gallinari still has a chance to be good. He averaged almost 20 points a game last year with 5 rebounds, 3 assists. So there's some really nice pieces. I mean, I think you could argue outside of us, they have one of the best young cores in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's true. They're obviously a few years behind our progression, but that's probably true. Let's move on to the best team in the league, according to Vegas. Golden State Warriors, 66.5 is their over-under. They obviously added Kevin Garnett. I'm not with it. They did not add Kevin Garnett. They added Kevin Durant. They lost Harrison Barnes, Andrew Bogut. This line seems too high to me, Brian. I think they're going to rest guys a lot more than they did last year. They sort of... They went for it last year. They had the best regular season record in the history of the NBA. They're not going to do that again. I think they learned that rest is important. They sort of melted down a little bit in the playoffs against Cleveland and somewhat Oklahoma City. I would comfortably bet the under on this.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're going to be under. I wouldn't say they melted down in the playoffs. I don't think that's fair. I mean, I think they didn't play extremely well against Cleveland, but it's not like they were like choking and like throwing the ball away a lot. Like they made some dumb plays like they always do, but they're the Warriors. And frankly, Cleveland just kind of played better than them down the stretch in a lot of those games. So obviously got better, but yes, totally agree. I think the lesson is they don't need to win that many games. And I think they're going to plan accordingly. It will be interesting though, because even when they're not playing the best guys, they have 4 like top 15 guys. So if they sit 2 of them, they're still going to be better than most teams.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Man, I still really like the under. That might be my favorite bet of all these bets.
I don't know, because they're not going to like not try even when they're not trying to win, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I just don't see it. Moving Fair on, enough. Houston Rockets, 41.5 is the line. Last year they won 41 games. So Vegas projecting about no change. Their roster did move a bit. They added Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and Nene, and Dwight Howard left. Your thoughts, Brian?
So my thoughts are, I kind of like the over. I think they got a little bit better. I don't think Dwight really helped them, and I think they all hated playing with Dwight. I think Ryan Anderson fits their style. They've been dying to get a Ryan Anderson type guy for like 4 years. Unfortunately, Dwight is gone now, so it's a little too late, and Eric Gordon should help in some way. I'm not quite sure how, though, because he's like a much worse version of James Harden, but it can't hurt. I am curious to see how D'Antoni does. I think he's a terrible coach. Hasn't really won much lately.
Terrible coach. Shots fired.
Yeah, I know. But, man, he's a really bad coach. And Jalen Rose made me hate him. So his story is about he'd be like, Coach, what are we doing on defense? And he's like, don't worry about defense. We play our game. Defense doesn't matter. It's like, that's not true at all. So I really just don't like him as a coach after that. So, yeah, I think they'll win, like, maybe a couple more games. Because they shouldn't have gotten 14 games worse last year. That doesn't make total sense to me.
Okay. I like that logic. Next team, L.A. Clippers, 53.5. Last year, I believe they won 53 games.
53.
Yeah, so again, this is about no change. Maurice Spates was the addition. They lost Cole Aldrich to the future champs and Jeff Green. I'm going under on this. I think there's a chance they're going to make a trade and sort of blow up the team at some point during the year. So, you know, I think that's a realistic possibility. If that happens, it's almost certainly going under. Everyone's a year older. They don't have a young team, and they didn't really do anything in the offseason. So for those reasons, I think they're just going to be a couple games worse than last year.
I feel you. I'm very torn on this one. This one I obviously wouldn't touch betting-wise. I could be convinced either way. They played without Blake for a lot of last season, but they also seem to play better whenever Blake is out. So I don't know what to make of that. There's really no other teams that are much better than them, but I think there's probably a bit more parity in the West this year. So, you know, it's not like these teams are going to come out and dominate them like a bad team, but I do think they're just going to struggle to win those easy games because there's a lot of decent teams in the middle now. So I'll go with you in the under.
All right. I like it. And the other LA team is the Lakers. 24.5 is the over under. Last year they won 17 games. So Vegas has them getting a bit better. They lost Kobe and Roy Hibbert. They added Jose Calderon, Luol Deng, and Mozgov to a massive deal. They also drafted Brandon Ingram, so he's going to contribute right away.
Will he?
Yeah, I think he will. I think the team got better. It's just a question of how many games better. I kind of like the over slightly.
I like the under. I know winning 22 games is not very much, and they were already the worst team in the West, and it just blows my mind, how do these terrible teams still manage to win out of every four games? But it just happens, like, their schedule losses and stuff like that. But, man, yes, I think they'll play better basketball without having to feed Kobe the ball. I just don't think they added very much talent with Luol Deng. Mozgov was terrible. I don't know, like, Cleveland didn't even play Mozgov. And they signed him to this massive deal. Jose Calderon can do some things, but he's really slow.
They did upgrade at coach quite a bit. I mean, they got rid of Byron Scott and added Luke Walton.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure the Vegas line is right, but I just don't. I wouldn't feel good betting the over on it.
Fair enough. Memphis, 43.5, Brian. Last year, they won 42 games. I thought that was kind of interesting that Vegas has them being better than last year. They did get Chandler Parsons. They lost Matt Barnes. I'm going to go under, sort of for the logic that I think the teams around them got better and they didn't get much better. So for that reason, I'm going under.
So maybe I'm totally wrong, but this is one where I would pound the over.
Interesting.
Like, without question. I mean, this team, when they have their main dudes, they usually crank out 50, 52 wins, no problem.
Yeah, but it's pretty safe to assume they're not going to have all their dudes healthy, right?
Why? They're like
an aging team with two huge big men.
Well, Zach really doesn't get hurt. Gasol is supposed to be healthy. He sat out a lot of time last year. Conley should be healthy this year. He's the highest paid, the biggest contract of all time, which is kind of ridiculous. They added Chandler Parsons, who, if they would have added him 3 years ago, I think we'd be talking a different story about this team. So I think he would have been the dude that finally brought him from 50, 51 wins a year to like 56, 57. Because he provides shooting, which they've never had, and a bit of offensive versatility at the wing. So fingers crossed that he's the missing piece they've been looking for. I don't think they got better at coach. I think Jaeger was a good coach. But yeah, this is one where, of all the bets we've talked about today, I'd be most confident betting the over on the Grizzlies.
Wow. Okay. I like it. Is that a lock? Are you locking that in?
Sure. Let's lock it in. I would bet this over. Do you want to take the other side?
No, because I don't feel that strongly about the under. If I had to pick, I'd go under. But no, I'd take the under on Golden State if you want the over.
If I gave you 44, an extra two games.
No, it's 43.5.
Oh, sorry. I'll give you 45. Think about it.
Yeah, I actually might do that.
You want that? You want that bet? Do we lock it in?
I mean, I could, yeah, I could just bet you and then go online and bet the real line. And then it's the ultimate hedge.
Ultimate hedge. You're going to win $20 from me and $20 online.
Ship it.
When they win 44. Okay.
No, I don't actually want to bet because I'm going to forget about the bet.
Fair enough.
Let's move on. Next alphabetically is the Wolves, which we are going to skip to the frustration of the listeners.
Oh, why you guys skip the Wolves? It's all I care about. Why do you even do this segment?
Well, the offseason's almost over, so.
What's the over-under?
For the Wolves?
Yeah.
41.5.
Oh, it's such an over-under. We'll do a more in-depth breakdown of the Wolves season and come out with like our win total.
Yep. That's why we're going to skip it. New Orleans, 36.5, Brian. Last year, they were 30. I think they're banking on Anthony Davis being healthy and actually playing well. That's good for quite a few wins. They got not better, I don't think, with their roster changes. I think Buddy Hield's going to score some points, though. I'm going under.
This one is hard to tell. I'll go over because healthy Davis.
Healthy Davis worth a lot.
2 years ago, they won like 48 games. They were the up-and-coming team. They looked really good. And this roster isn't drastically different than that. Yes, they don't have Ryan Anderson anymore, but he's pretty old at this point. I think Buddy Hield helps them out. They'll finally have some shooting. If you have Anthony Davis and a few shooters around him, that's a scary team. So I'm gonna bet he also has a chip on his shoulder after they were awful last season. So I'm gonna go with the over.
I like it. Oklahoma City, 45.5, Brian. This one's pretty difficult to gauge because their team has changed so much. I kind of like the over, though.
Yeah, I kind of do too. Tell me why.
So I think Oladipo is a nice little addition. I think Westbrook is the overwhelming favorite to win MVP, and I think for good reason. He's going to score a lot of points. His usage is going to be extremely high. They lost Serge Ibaka. You know, whatever. They lost Durant, obviously. That's pretty devastating. But I think Westbrook is going to have a crazy season. And for that reason, almost alone, I like the over.
Interesting. Though Westbrook going crazy makes me want to go under. Because they don't win when he does everything.
Yeah. I mean, they used to not win when he did everything.
Touche. Outside of losing Durant, I think they got better. I mean, I think they're going to have... If Russ tries on defense a lot, they're going to have probably the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. I don't think Ibaka to Ilyasova is a downgrade. It's probably not a downgrade at all on offense. It's definitely one on defense. And they still have some other good players. Steven Adams is really good in the playoffs. Cantor's pretty good. I don't know. I don't think they'll be bad. I think probably in the high 40s.
Okay. Next team is Phoenix Suns, 26.5. Man, they've really fallen. I keep going under on these teams, so I feel like my win totals aren't adding up. But
probably won't.
I kind of like the under. Your thoughts?
I'm 26.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really work to get better in the short term.
No, they had a draft that's very long-term focused, which I think is smart. But for this season, I just like the under.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I think they have a really good backcourt. They'll score some points. It'll be interesting to have the dragon out there. Yeah, why not? Let's go over. F it.
All right. Going over for Brian. Portland, 46.5. Last year, they won 44 games. Man, I think that's a super good line.
I know. They got a little bit better. Yeah. Festus Ezeli should help. Evan Turner should help. Oh, man, I don't know. Do you think they're the... Do you think they're the third best team? Or sorry, the fourth best team in the West?
Probably. I guess I'm going over on this one.
Okay.
I don't feel great about it, though.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'll go under just because why not?
All right. Sacramento Kings, 32.5. Last year, they took 33 wins out of the West. This line also feels...
Like they moved around a lot of guys. They didn't get any better. Yeah, they didn't really get worse.
I feel like Vlade just loves making moves.
I know. Their draft picks were weird. I don't know what to make of them. I think Jaeger's a good coach. So probably like a game better. So I'll go over.
I like that. Yeah. Logic. Yeah. I like Jaeger there too. We'll go with it.
He's worth one win. Why not?
Last team. No, sorry. There's two more teams in the West. The Spurs, 56.5. Last year they won 67 games. I love the over.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, so they lost Duncan, right? Who's, you know, he was older, but absolutely a noticeable loss. They lost David West, Boris Diaw. They got Pau Gasol, who I still think is a good contributor. I think their team...
On offense.
Yeah, I think their team got worse, but
yeah.
Did it get that many games worse? I don't think so. Going over.
I think they'll... This, again, feels like a good line to me. They'll maybe be over by like a game. I don't think they'll miss Duncan so much because I think Gasol's going to get a lot of those minutes and they'll be fine. I think they're going to miss Dia a lot. I think he did a lot of things for them off the bench. He knows how to play. He's not very athletic anymore, but there's a lot he could do. He's kind of their Swiss Army knife, and I think he's the one they're really going to miss.
Interesting. Okay. So, sorry, are you going under?
No, I said over by a game, so I'm still over. But they are definitely, like, a legit, like, 9 games worse.
Okay. Last team, Utah. Over-under is 47.5. So, Vegas has them being 7.5 games better than last year. You know, Utah is getting a lot of buzz, probably rightfully so. Are they that much better? I think they might be. I'm going over.
Very confident.
I know these lines are so good. Like it's, I know. It's so hard to.
The only bad one's Memphis. I'm gonna go. You know, I'm gonna go under on this one. I don't really think they're gonna be under because I do think they finally have a point guard in George Hill. He's not like the best point guard, but he's finally a solid one. He's definitely better than Trey Burke and Dante Exum. So. I think that'll help a lot. I think Joe Johnson is kind of a name and doesn't really add much at this point. It's really weird he signed with the Jazz. I think he just wanted to go somewhere and like not have to deal with being famous or the media. And I think Boris Diaw adds a lot. And they're going to get Exum back, who makes them more athletic. But I don't see them as like the fourth best team in the West now. So I'll go under.
Fair enough. That's all of them, Brian.
That's all.
Do a deep dive on the Wolves over under probably next podcast, I'm thinking. Should we get in some mailbag quick?
You've got mail.
TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com is where you can find us, or on Twitter at TWolvesPodcast. First email is from Mike. Mike, thank you for the email. The title of the email is Nick is a Dick, which rhymes. Yeah. Just listen to the podcast. This is the last podcast. Nick is a total dick. He doesn't act like he's happy to be on the podcast. He's bitter and he regularly belittles you too. I don't think his insights are worth the negativity that he's bringing to the pod. Hashtag give Nick a hug. Incredible email, Mike. Thank you for the email. You know, so when Nick comes on the podcast, a lot of that's sort of his shtick. You know, he's actually a good guy and fun to hang out with. But I agree, he's, you know, can be a little down on the podcast sometime. Any thoughts,
yeah.
Ryan? No comment.
There's no hot take there. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Next email is from Carrie. Carrie, thank you for the email. Carrie says, I think on the last podcast where a Thon Maker age joke was dropped, and it just got me curious. What's the deal with guys lying about their ages? Seems to be happening more often recently. Maker, Ibaka, and our very own Shabazz. Anyone I'm missing, rumors or otherwise? So I feel like it seems like it's happening more recently lately because it's really hard to do now with technology and the internet and records being out there. So I think guys get caught more often than they used to. I'm guessing this happens, you know, this has been happening for a long time. And the reason is if you're a year or two older playing with people, you know, a year or two younger, you obviously look way better relative to them. And if people don't know you're actually older, they're going to project you to continue to be better than, you know, your peers. So that's why it's done. As far as other rumors, Brian, I don't know of any. Do you know of any?
Other rumors? Not really. Yeah. I mean, this is one, like, once you hear about it, what surprises me about how this news kind of comes and goes really quick, like the Maker stuff. And it just like happens and people move on. It's like, oh, is he older than we thought? Okay.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of funny.
Sucks for us.
Well, thank you for the email. Next email is from Kieran. Kieran, thank you for the email. Listening from Australia. Appreciate that. Kieran says, hey guys, love the pod, which until recently has been the only Wolves-specific podcast I could find. I will take that as a compliment, Kieran. With KG's retirement and the likely cutting of Peck from the roster, what do you think we should do with the extra roster spots? This is interesting. By my count, we have two roster spots open, possibly three if we were to do something with Payne. I'm guessing some of those guys we signed on temporary deals are going to be promoted to full-time deals. You know, it's there's no free agents left at this point, really. So outside of a trade, which I don't think we're going to be doing anytime soon, I imagine we're just going to sort of find the filler for those roster spots. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, we'll probably use the dudes that we signed in non-guaranteed to fill those. Like you said, I don't think there's no great signings out there right now. So yeah, we'll just kind of wait and see. I was going to look real quick and see who the best available free agents are. How do you feel about Deion Waiters? J.R. Smith?
Nah. No, that's a no on both of them.
Okay, fair enough.
You want one of them?
No, not really.
Okay. moving on. Last email is from Seamus. Seamus, thank you for the email.
Probably Seamus, because that's actually a name.
Yeah, it just doesn't look... How do you spell Seamus?
Like this, the way Seamus spelled it.
Oh, is this how you spell Seamus?
There's no H in Seamus. Yeah, that is.
Wow, I've never seen the name written before. So, Seamus, I'm really sorry. I'm not a smart man. Seamus says, with KG retiring, we have $10 million that if we don't spend gets dispersed to the players anyways. Who are the best free agents we should sign? So I don't think that's fully an accurate statement. So Garnett is a cap hit this year is how it works. He still gets his $8 million. It's all hitting the cap this year. I looked up on spottrack.com, which is good for tracking this stuff, and we're at about the floor right now. I think we're about $500,000 to $1 million underneath the floor, so we don't really have to spend any money to get to the floor. I don't think we're going to be spending money. That's just sort of how it is, and it positions us pretty well going forward. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think we pay it out. Again, this kind of relates to the last question. I don't think there's anything great we can do with it per se. No guys left that are really worth signing. So I think we'll just kind of wait it out. I think our best bet now is Josh Smith. No one signed Josh Smith. What do you think? Let's go for it.
No, thank you.
No, really?
Yeah.
You don't think he's the mentor our young guys need?
No, he's probably not. I don't think he is.
Fair enough. But on a talent basis.
Well, yeah, we might as well bring back Michael Beasley then.
No, that's true.
Anyways, thanks for the emails, guys. Really good emails this week. TimRollsPodcast@gmail.com. Brian, anything on the Twitterverse?
Yes. Actually, we did have a tweet from our homie Scoob. Scoob said that Towns is the best center in NBA 2K. If we have any 2K questions, we should let him know.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Good to know. Thanks, Scoob.
And then also, Kyla said, Timberwolves Podcast, food at Target Center will hopefully get better. And then she sent us a link to an article about Chef David Fima to revamp Target Center food. So, very excited for that. They couldn't have gotten much worse. So, I'm glad they're finally trying because it's good for everyone. The fans like it and they're going to make a lot more money.
That is very good. Who's the chef?
Chef David Fima.
Yeah, I heard his name. Like, who is he, like a chef at a restaurant?
It's Chef David Fima.
Okay, so it's David Fima. So,
just kidding.
You know,
David Fima's culinary experience and training have taken him around the world, working at prestigious restaurants such as La Rangerie and Le Restaurant.
Okay.
Oh, and he works at Faces Mears Park, a French Mediterranean restaurant with an organic bakery.
Okay. Seems like a strange choice to revamp the hot dog and nacho selection at Target Center, but I like it. It seems like a little overkill, though, Brian. It reminds me of when the Wolves hired Corn Ferry to find Tom Thibodeau.
I know. They could have just gotten some, like, taco stands, but whatever.
They literally could have just interviewed me, and I'd just be like, make the food less sh**. like, that's all they have to do. Anyways, thank you for the tweets, and that makes me happy. It seems like better food is coming.
Cool.
All right, Brian. Decent job this week. Hopefully this sounds okay. We're using a little different software than normal. And yeah, we'll be back probably in a week or so. And it'll be good to have Brian in town this weekend.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everyone, especially the international listeners. Talk to you guys soon.
Bye.